VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We deem it a great privilege to have you with us here on this Friday Crosstalk, a time when we most of the time come to you with a news roundup and comment program, which will in fact be the case yet again this Friday, today. In for Jim Schneider, this is Dalton Windsor, and we have much to get through here this morning, or this afternoon, depending on when you are listening to this. There is a stack of headlines that Sandy has been compiling over these past several days, and it's hard for many of us to just see that the month of January is really the majority of it now behind us. And we look back over just these past few days, much has developed here. So big thank you to Sandy for her work with getting these stories. Dennis and Master Control helping us to get out the news today across the VCY America radio network and our affiliate stations. On the top of the heap here today is, something everyone has been watching with great interest. And the U.S. Senate has delivered more bad news for the Biden administration as of late Wednesday night. There were two votes. The bad news for them came in the form of two votes. One that failed to move the Democrats' federal takeover of elections forward, and the subsequent unsuccessful attempt by Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to nuke the legislative filibuster in order to force the Democrat power grab through with their razor-thin majority. We're sharing this from an article from Town Hall. And we hear so much about the filibuster, and if you don't know, the filibuster is that political procedure where one or more members of a legislative body, they work to prolong the debate and on proposed legislation. This would delay or completely prevent a decision, a vote from being made. And both sides of the aisle have used this, but this is truly a major blow to Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and his side of the argument. And the strange thing is, and I know that Jim has shared this in recent weeks, in the past, Chuck Schumer has been, you know, a vehement defender of the right to use the filibuster, and many remember his words well.
The bottom line is very simple. The ideologues in the Senate want to turn what the Founding Fathers called the cooling saucer of democracy into the rubber stamp of dictatorship. We will not let them. They want, because they can't get their way on every judge, to change the rules in midstream, to wash away 200 years of history. They want to make this country into a banana republic where if you don't get your way, you change the rules. Are we going to let them?
No!
It'll be a doomsday for democracy if we do.
Many remember that emboldened speech there from Chuck Schumer. And did you catch this comment from last week when Senator from Arkansas used Chuck Schumer's very words in his argument against what the left was trying to do?
They will make this country into a banana republic where if you don't get your way, you change the rules.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Are we going to let them? It will be a doomsday for democracy if we do.
Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas, again, this huge blow to the Biden administration coming over Wednesday night in those two votes. The first vote to break the Republican filibuster on the legislation that the Democrats wrongly claim is merely about voting rights. Democrats came up short of the 60 votes needed in a 49-51 vote. So Schumer did attempt to use the nuclear option that he's before spoken so vehemently against. He did attempt to use that to change the rules to allow Democrats to move their election takeover forward with a simple majority, that too failing. And it failed, and there were applause from some of the senators, unable to reach the 51-vote threshold necessary to amend the rules. Senators Manchin and Sinema voted with Republicans to foil Schumer's attempted use of the nuclear option, effectively killing Democrats' latest attempt at a federal takeover of elections. Now, that's certainly making, when you make a stand, as you know, in all of our lives, when you make a stand on something, there's usually a price you will pay somewhere. Here's a headline from Life News that radical pro-abortion groups, NARAL, N-A-R-A-L, and Emily's List, pulled their support from Senator Kristen Sinema after she voted against ending the filibuster. Emily's List, a political action committee that works to elect Democratic women in favor of abortion rights, said that it had officially taken back its endorsement of Sinema. Quote, "We believe the decision by Senator Sinema is not only a blow to voting rights and our electoral system, but also to the work of all of the partners who supported her victory and her constituents who tried to communicate the importance of this bill." The statement continued, "As a result, we noted earlier this week, we will no longer be able to endorse Senator Sinema moving forward." And then the group NARAL, N-A-R-A-L, also dropped its support, saying, "We are dismayed by the Republican-led effort to block legislation to protect the freedom to vote." This from that statement from NARAL shortly after the filibuster vote failed. You have to give them credit. They're up on the times and when things were being, you know, argued, right? They went on to say, "These senators put themselves on the wrong side of history this evening, and we will hold them accountable. Make no mistake. The freedom to vote underpins our fight for reproductive freedom and every other freedom that we hold dear." Lots of folks crying for equality until that comes to the subject of those in the womb. Here is from CBN. Tens of thousands of pro-life citizens will take to the streets in D.C. today, and this is a good thing, all to affirm a powerful message about the importance of protecting the unborn and that equality begins in the womb. That proclamation, the official theme of the 2022 March for Life, it is one that has been echoed for decades by activists and advocates seeking to reframe the abortion debate in our country. The annual march is a peaceful demonstration aimed at visually showing that the 1973 Roe v. Wade Supreme Court case legalizing abortion across the U.S. did anything but solve or dismiss the moral quagmires surrounding abortion. So, kudos, as they say, to those who are taking to the streets to affirm protecting the unborn. Now, listen to this next one closely. While most, this is from Life News also, while most Christians will mourn this week for the 63 million unborn babies, since Roe v. Wade, there is a group of Maine pastors who plan to celebrate with a special Sabbath for reproductive justice. Now, I said listen closely to this. They are actually celebrating, use that term pastors loosely here, they are celebrating the death of 63 million since Roe v. Wade. This op-ed at the Bangor Daily News, Reverend Marvin Ellison promoted the pro-abortion event. Ellison, a professor emeritus of Christian ethics at Bangor Theological Seminary in Maine, said that he believes abortion is a morally responsible decision that women should be allowed to make without restriction or shame. He's calling for, he says, this Sabbath is a godsend opportunity for us to ponder prayerfully and respectively how to do better. Reproductive justice insists that people should have the moral freedom and legal right to decide whether and when to become parents, Ellison continued. Equally important, all families should have sufficient resources to raise their children in health, safety, and dignity. This also from LifeNews.com, the Supreme Court rejecting big abortion a second time. For the second time in 2 months, the Supreme Court has rejected a request from Big Abortion to help it overturn the Texas abortion ban that protects unborn babies with beating hearts. In a 6-3 ruling, the nation's highest court rejected a request from Texas abortion companies to move their lawsuit from the Texas Supreme Court and place it in the hands of a federal judge that would overturn the ban. All of the Republican-appointed justices voted in the majority against big abortion, while each of the three liberal justices voted with the abortion businesses. In the unsigned opinion, the Supreme Court rejected a request for an order directing the Fifth Circuit Federal Appeals Court to send the case back to U.S. District Judge Robert Pittman. Well, a big headline for our listening friends in the state of Virginia. Your new governor was affirmed in last weekend. The 74th governor of Virginia wasted no time in getting down to business. Several executive actions aimed at coronavirus mask mandates, critical race theory in public schools, and other issues that Youngin campaigned on. And following his inauguration, the new governor fulfilled promises made for his first day in office by signing 11 executive actions that consisted of 9 executive orders and 2 executive directives. I know that's some heavy wording there, but I mean, that is what took place. To break this down briefly before we go to break, executive order number 1 was to stop the use of critical race theory concepts in public schools. He ran on that, and promises made, promises kept, correct? Executive order number 2 allows parents to make decisions. Wow. Executive order number 2 allows parents to make decisions on whether their children will wear a mask at school in Virginia. Executive order number 3 terminated the state's current parole board and appointed new members. Executive order number 4 established an investigation into the Loudoun County School District. Executive order number 5 creates the Office of Commonwealth Chief Transportation Officer, a cabinet-level position empowered to review the performance of state government agencies. Executive Order Number 6 helps boost the state economy by declaring Virginia open for business. Executive Order Number 7 pertains to the prevention and combating of human trafficking and provides support to trafficking survivors. Executive Order Number 8 establishes a commission to combat anti-Semitism. Executive Order Number 9, the withdrawal from the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, an organization involving 11 Mid-Atlantic and Northeast states aimed at capping carbon emissions from power generation. We're almost through the list here. Executive Directive Number 1 is another win for the economy by cutting regulations that reduce jobs by 25%. And then a last one will restore individual privacy and liberty by rescinding the vaccine mandate for state employees. So the people going back to work with their new governor in the state of Virginia. We're just through this first segment. There is plenty more ahead. Stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, now we know there are volcanoes here on Earth, but are they found anywhere else in the solar system?
Chris, we find evidence of volcanism on all of the rocky planets and many of the moons. Our own moon gives evidence of much volcanism in times past. Recent studies of Mars show that huge volcanoes were there as well. On the moons of the gaseous planets, some may even still be active. It appears to me that much of this volcanism is associated with meteorite impact. I wouldn't be surprised that at the time of the flood, the whole solar system got bombarded by meteorites. Remember the big picture of creation thinking. A very good creation, perfect in every sense, ruined by the introduction of sin and the curse on all of creation, and then restructured by the flood of Noah's day. Often God used natural causes to bring about his supernatural intent. And that's the way I see it from a Back to Genesis perspective.
Thanks for joining us for Back to Genesis.
We'll be right back.
This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Radio Network. A Friday news roundup and comment. We just, before we went to break, we were talking about the 11 actions that were signed in by the new governor of Virginia, Glenn Youngkin. And it is a pretty exhaustive list, as we just shared those. Well, here's another story from Life News that is covering more of his agenda. Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin confirmed his commitment to protecting unborn babies from abortion just this past Wednesday, creating a new, quote, ambassador for unborn children position in his administration. The diversity officer will work to promote ideas, policies, and practices to eliminate disparities in prenatal care and be an ambassador for unborn children. Additionally, the diversity officer will promote free speech and civil discourse and civic life, including viewpoint diversity in higher education in coordination with the Secretary of Education. According to Governor Youngkin's office, Youngkin revised the position to create a stronger and more focused role on promoting ideas, policies, and economic opportunities for disadvantaged Virginians, and that including unborn babies and people with disabilities. Again, some great pro-life work being done in Virginia. And what a concept. Life. Praise God for it. And praise God for those who make us stand for it in our day-to-day. Well, we'll shift from the state of Virginia to Wisconsin. Daily Wire reporting a Waukesha County judge ruling just yesterday that ballot drop boxes cannot be used in the state of Wisconsin. This coming with the assertion that the Wisconsin Elections Commission has, quote, no authority to permit drop boxes. It's all good and nice, but there's no authority to do it, says Waukesha County Circuit Court Judge Michael Barron. Judge Barron made the determination in response to a lawsuit filed by voters represented by the conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Some of you may recognize that as WILL, W-I-L-L. And notably, Barron's ruling also blocks outsiders from returning a voter's absentee ballot for them. That means political groups can't pick up ballots for voters, which has been a practice not widely used in Wisconsin. But in a press release, WILL, Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, WILL, said that Judge Barron's decision bans ballot harvesting. Judge Barron said that a finalized injunction was forthcoming, ordering the State Elections Commission to withdraw longstanding advice to municipal clerks around the state that says they can use absentee ballot drop boxes. And as would be expected, the ruling is being appealed. But that's pretty big news out of Waukesha County. And can you imagine just dropping off your vote and driving away, walking away? Remember when Election Day was, it was what that means, Election Day, and that's what it was, and that's what everyone participated in to the best of our ability? So, big story there. And more, by the way, more coming out just in these past several hours in the state of Wisconsin regarding vote integrity. And I'm sure we will have bring more of that to you in the days ahead. We went from Virginia to Wisconsin, right? Let's go to Minnesota for a moment. MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell. Many would know him as the MyPillow guy. Seen him on TV, right? Well, he has declared he has been canceled by so many. Well, the headline now is that his bank wants to cancel him. Two banks wanting to cut ties with Mike Lindell after the January 6th committee has targeted him. Many would remember Mike Lindell's vocal support for former President Donald Trump has frequently put him in the crosshairs of the media, the left-wing politicos. And just back on Monday, two banks wanting to cancel his account, citing reputation risk after the January 6th committee issued a subpoena for Mike Lindell's phone records. Mike Lindell says, there's something behind this, and we can't let everyone get debanked in our country. He told that to a Business Insider, arguing that the moves by the banks were an example of cancel culture motivated by politics. According to Lindell, Minnesota Bank and Trust and Heartland Financial USA both reached out to him to inform him they wanted to cut off their dealings with the controversial pillow company boss, asking him to close his accounts with their institutions. The communications from the banks allegedly came after the January 6th House Select Committee, a Democrat-led investigation into the riot at the U.S. Capitol in 2020, which has been described as a political witch hunt designed to justify the framing of the disturbance as an attempted coup. They issued this a subpoena for Lindell's phone records due to his ties to Donald Trump. And according to recordings of a phone call with a representative from Minnesota Bank and Trust, which Lindell shared with Insider, the bank was concerned about negative headlines it might earn if the January 6th committee decides to broaden its probe to include Lindell's bank accounts in addition to his phone records. This from some big tech news. PayPal is dropping nonprofits who are opposed to vaccine mandates. A media watchdog group, Media Matters, accused PayPal and GoFundMe of hosting crowdfunding campaigns for organizations that spread harmful COVID-19 misinformation. PayPal said it would no longer process donations for groups, including the National Vaccine Information Center, that opposes vaccine mandates. Most know PayPal, the latest tech giant to join the censorship game, shutting down its services for a variety of nonprofit organizations that are working to stop injection mandates. This increasingly orchestrated attack has targeted the National Vaccine Information Center, the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance, Organic Consumers Association, and many others. And this should send a chill down the spine of anyone who values the freedom upon which the U.S. was founded. Powerful forces are at play, and big tech is among them, working to suppress, discredit, and silence certain science, speech, and viewpoints. Investigative journalist Cheryl Atkinson, familiar to many, said there is no longer any doubt that vaccine industry interests and other corporate and political interests are pulling the strings so that big tech moves to squash scientific views, studies, scientists, and opinions that are contrary to the narrative. Well, here's one from the New American. We'll shift gears here. Pursuant to an agreement with President Trump, Mexico temporarily halted the mass migration of Central Americans to the U.S. border in 2019. You may remember that. The masses surged again after President Joe Biden took office, China virus notwithstanding. It appears, though, that Americans haven't seen the worst of the invasion. Now, just after Christmas, Todd Bensman of the Center for Immigration Studies reported Mexico armed some 50,000 migrants with electronic visas and residency cards. Then these, quote, migrants marched north in the latest ANT operation, this moving illegal aliens to the U.S.-Mexico border, almost going unnoticed. Again, when did we say this? This report says just after Christmas. So keeping the latest tsunami off the political radar is crucial for President Biden and his party. If these, quote, migrants invade gradually, voters won't notice. The invasion won't be an issue in November's midterm elections. Numbering between 30 and 50,000, the migrants were making trouble in a town near Guatemala. Mexico had to defuse the bomb before it exploded. Migrants, journalists, and Mexican immigration bureaucrats told Bensman that the government mass-distributed an electronic QR code visa to thousands almost overnight and then arranged for their exodus by hundreds of buses in a grouping sent across 14 different Mexican states farther north. But no one here knew. Well, they didn't think they did. Most Americans and even Mexicans failed to notice that a huge but purposefully diffused surge of people to the American border had even happened, and let alone why. This goes on. Aiding the invasion is the communist-founded United Nations, which gives debit cards to the migrants. Every day, word of the UN's cash assistance draws long lines of hopeful U.S.-bound migrants, and those payments are sharply escalating. The amounts of cash and other direct financial assistance to immigrants all along the migrant trail from Panama to Texas at an uncharted series of some 100 way stations. It is part of a program the UN calls cash-based interventions. In Reynosa, Mexico, at a migrant camp, the UN helpfully doles out debit cards to aspiring U.S. border crossers. The IOM workers said that a migrant family of four gets about $800 a month. That from the New American. You're hearing these stories, right? You're here with us, and you're hearing the same things, reading the same things that we are, and we're hoping to be hearing from you in the minutes ahead. In fact, we're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines and begin getting calls in from you that following the next break, we can have you weigh in on some of these issues. And what do you think about that? About most that we would talk to agree, we have no problem with people coming to America legally. How about those being weaponized? Even that was the term, right? Even weaponized by the UN to come here. The telephone number is 1-800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829, and we will begin hearing from you after the next break. Quickly, here's a story from the Daily Caller. The Transportation Security Administration, TSA, disclosed to a congressional office that illegal migrants flying without proper ID can use an arrest warrant as an alternate form of identification when presenting to airport security. Responding to Republican Texas Representative Lance Gooden's inquiry in December about illegal migrants flying across the country, TSA explained that certain Department of Homeland Security documents may be considered acceptable forms of alternate identification for non-citizens, including a warrant for arrest of alien and a warrant of removal/deportation. TSA's response confirms the Biden administration is knowingly putting our national security at risk, Gooden says. Unknown, unvetted immigrants shouldn't be in the country, much less flying without proper identification. Can't make this stuff up, folks, as they say. 1-800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829, as news roundup and comment. The comment comes from you. We'll continue on the other side. This is Crosstalk. Stay with us.
One of the prevalent conflicts in society is the battle over gender and marriage. We are flooded with stories pertaining to drag queen story hours, the restroom debates, gender reassignment surgeries, pronoun identification, biological males on female athletic teams, and so much more. These issues are not only confronting schools and businesses, but they have also encroached inside the church. Many are left wondering how to deal with these matters. The book, The Marriage and Gender War, addresses these issues head-on by using the absolute standard for morality as found in God's Word, and is edited by Bodie Hodge and Ken Ham. The book is designed to equip students, parents, Christian leaders, and others to uphold the truths of Scripture on these critical issues. The Gender and Marriage War is available for a donation of $16 by calling VCY at 1-800-729-9829.
We'll be right back.
This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Radio Network. In for Jim Schneider. I am Dalton Windsor. As we go to the telephone, Tim is in Springfield, Missouri. Tim, you're on the air.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I think that we should be allowing anybody to come into our country. But, yeah, they need to be vetted for sure. And I don't understand why we need to be giving them all this money. Where's all the money coming from, first off? And and second off, I spent 20 years in the construction world. And there's a lot of immigrants that I work with that were here on work visas, and they did really good jobs. But even on the work visa, they would take a lot of their money and send it back home because their families are starving to death.
Yes.
And then for our own government just to open it up and start handing money away, I mean, what's wrong with us?
Well,
as a nation, we need to get better at this, because when it comes right down to it, almost every one of us that are in America, we're all immigrants from someplace or another.
Yes.
Nobody is legitimately to the United States except for Native Americans.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tim, thank you for your call. And from the article, as we did share, it was Republican Texas Representative Lance Gooden and his inquiry last month about the illegal migrants that were flying into the country or flying across the lines into the country and asking questions. And so you have a U.S. State of Texas representative here saying, you know, unknown, unvetted immigrants shouldn't be in the country. Much less flying without proper identification and questioning how much the Biden administration actually knows, even saying that they're knowingly doing this. So, again, we echo what you say there, Tim, in that so many are coming here and they have that right to come here legally. Brent is on line two. Brent, in Pewaukee, Wisconsin, thanks for calling Crosstalk today.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
I have a question for you. If you're, perhaps you aren't aware of it. I'm an older fellow, and I recall back in the 40s and 50s when Senator Joe McCarthy, senator from Wisconsin, talked seriously about the United Nations building. And I'm not trying to make light of it, but he did declare that it should have been put on an island, sent out in the Atlantic Ocean, and blown up. Now, you can see what's happening right now with the United Nations being involved with these people that are being brought across the border.
Yes.
And with no identification. It's all sponsored by the United Nations. So that's all that I have to say. I hope you have a wonderful day. Stay healthy, and God bless you guys.
All right. Thank you, Brent, for that. And that does bring more clarity as we wind back to that story. Talking about the UN's involvement and where this money is coming from, going to these people. I know Tim had mentioned, you know, where are they getting this money? And yes, it does come through the UN, but then where do they get their funding? And that leads to a whole other thing. 1-800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. As we do continue through additional more stories here from this week, things that we just simply want to bring to your attention. Here's a headline that is affecting all of us. If you eat, this affects you. New vaccine mandates for truck drivers are likely to increase the cost of produce. The cost of transporting fruit from California and Arizona to Canada climbed 25% last week. That from the CEO of Canada-wide Fruits telling Bloomberg on Monday. The executive in Montreal mentioned a lack of truck drivers who were able to cross the border between the U.S. and Canada because of the vaccine mandate that cut U.S. trucking capacity in half. Canada's vaccine mandate for truckers was imposed on Saturday last week. The new rules require U.S. truckers to present proof of vaccination in order to cross the border. Did you hear about this? The U.S. plans to impose a similar mandate on January 22nd. This mandate for trucking companies may have already begun to boost their rates to compete for vaccinated truck drivers. Headline says thousands of Canadian truckers plan Freedom Convoy to protest the COVID jab mandates. LifeSite News saying thousands of Canadian truckers will begin a nationwide Freedom Convoy starting next week, a convoy to Ottawa to protest the jab mandate for all haulers crossing the border. We are taking our fight to the doorsteps of our federal government and demanding that they cease all mandates against its people. Small businesses are being destroyed, homes are being destroyed, and people are being mistreated and denied fundamental necessities to survive. They say it is our duty as Canadians to put an end to this mandate or these mandates. It is imperative that this happens because if we don't, our country will no longer be the country we have come to love. We are doing this for our future generations and to regain our lives back. Folks standing up for something they believe in. Telephone number is 1-800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. As we go to line one, Bowden is in Maricopa, Arizona. Thank you for calling in today.
Hello, thank you. It appears to me that, like, we're in the beginning stages of Revelation 13, the mark of the beast, the world dictator, global dictator, to what all these chip technology and digital currency. And I don't refer to the left as liberals. I would refer to them as, I would take that out of your vocabulary, to more like progressive Marxists. My parents from the Ukraine. They ended up in Germany during World War II, and I was born here. So I've kind of been following, you know, what's going on and the growing threat of communism and Marxism. And it seems like it's here now in beginning stages, or maybe not even the beginning. Maybe we're in the middle of the mark. And I was wondering why I don't hear many preachers and pastors and radio shows about this topic.
That's a great question. It is a great question. And certainly many that we have heard when they speak of this, you know, and so many even asking us, is this the mark of the beast, this vaccine and the virus, all that is being discussed? And many would say no, that it is not the mark of the beast. However, it is certainly a great conditioning for the mark of the beast. So we thank you for your comments, Bowden, in Arizona today. And we're glad your parents had you, by the way, here in America. We'll go to Dave in West Dallas. Dave, you're on Crosstalk.
Yeah, hi. I'm trying to make this quick here. I think this is like a globalist push with all this influx with the immigrants coming in here. They want to reduce America down to a third world country like the rest of the world, so because that's fair, of course. Another thing about the Democratic Party, they've never really earned votes. They buy them. They buy them. Right now, I was just hearing today about how many people are sitting collecting free money. Well, why work when we got 10 million jobs available? Why work when you get free money from the government? So that's the socialist formula. It's been that way for a long time. But they're bribing people. They're buying votes, but they don't earn them. So that's all tied in with what's going on out here. I think the best thing, we got to get them out of there before it's too late. So anyways, have a wonderful day. That's all I wanted to say, my friend, okay?
All right. Dave, thank you. Thank you for calling. And, you know, you hear these government mandates and such. And, of course, we know there was a huge blow as last week as the Supreme Court struck down the White House's employer vaccine mandate. We talk about the truck drivers dealing with, you know, the mandates. U.S. truckers must have the jab in order to drive into Canada or vice versa. Here's a headline. General Electric saying that it won't require the vaccine after that Supreme Court ruling last week. American corporation General Electric announcing this week that it would no longer require its 56,000 employees to undergo either the COVID-19 vaccination or regular testing after that strike down at the Supreme Court level last week. GE suspended its enforcement of that policy one day after the court said the Biden administration could not force large U.S. companies to require vaccinations for their employees. Now, we're going to counter that story. Now, GE getting the applause right now, right? Okay. Well, you ever wore a Carhartt article of clothing? Carhartt's a big name. Popular U.S. manufacturer Carhartt sent an email to its 5,500 workers notifying them that they had to receive the COVID-19 vaccine by February 15th in order to continue working for them. You say, well, surely that has changed since the Supreme Court ruled on that last week. Mm-mm. This announcement came a day after the Supreme Court decision, which did effectively end President Biden's private sector vaccine mandate for large employers nationwide. However, Carhartt and CEO Mark Vlad sent an email stating that all employees had to be vaccinated by February 15 or find a new job, saying, "We put workplace safety at the very top of our priority list, and the Supreme Court's recent ruling doesn't impact that core value. We and the medical community continue to believe vaccines are necessary to ensure a safe working environment for every associate and even perhaps their households." How about having a job for your household? That's a good question. He goes on to say, while we appreciate that there may be differing views, workplace safety is an area where we and the union that represents our associates cannot compromise. An unvaccinated workforce is both a people and business risk that our company, that being Carhartt, is unwilling to take. Very, very interesting indeed. Quickly, Robert, we'll try to get you in here before we go to break. You're on Crosstalk.
Sir, just thinking on and agreeing with so many of the callers and your encouragement to your ministry has been. And a relative was mentioning praying situations like the information, but I think more like the election fraud. And to pray for people, though, is not like Jesus saying, "I pray not for the world." It occurred to me, and where Proverbs 28 refers us to paying attention to the Word of God, it calls it the law there. You know, and if we don't, but we think we're praying, it's an abomination, the Scripture says. Point being is like Jesus said to the man in hell, said, "Send my someone back from the dead to my brothers." And Jesus referred, if they don't listen to the law, if they don't hear the word of God, they won't repent. So I'm just thankful for WBCY preaching the gospel along with the information of what's going on.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Recently, Mike Lindell was a guest on my radio show. And what did he announce? Well, his bank of many, many years told him he has 9 accounts, including a recovery network, and they want them all gone. Leave. Why? Well, they actually said it and was on a recording that they don't want the PR problem. They don't want a public relations problem. Wait a minute. Have we reached the point now where people that are conservatives, Christians concerned about our country and nation, that are patriots, that this is now a potential PR problem? You know, my friends, this is smelling an awfully lot like the 1930s and 40s at a different time in a different place. Americans need to stand up and realize that we're now playing for all the marbles. This is a worldview war. Many people today hate our belief in God, country, and family. And it's time to stand up peacefully, but speak up.
Already into our final segment of Crosstalk. Again, our caller just before the break there giving an exhortation to be in prayer and, of course, the close study of God's Word, and that we certainly all can appreciate. Want to get a couple more stories in here before we go back to the phones. And we are clearly a couple of years into the virus, over a couple of years now, into this the COVID-19 and such. And the debate rages on about wearing the masks and the vaccines. Well, this week, the Biden administration will begin making, or has begun making, 400 million N95 masks available for free to U.S. residents. And this is to begin next week. The federal officials are emphasizing these masks are better protection against the Omicron variant of COVID-19 over cloth face coverings. So be looking for that coming next week. This was back on Wednesday when the White House announced that the mask will come from the government's strategic national stockpile, which has more than 750 million of these highly protective masks on hand. The masks will be available for pickup at pharmacies and community health centers across the country, and they will begin shipping this week for distribution starting late next week, saying the White House Center for Disease Control and Prevention on today updated its guidance on face coverings to more clearly state that properly fitted N95 and or KN95 masks offer the most protection against COVID-19. Gwendolyn is in Ohio. Gwendolyn, you're on the air.
Oh, I just wanted to say hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Okay. I just wanted to say that this United Nations is the old Assyrians, and they are Germany. This is, and the Antichrist hasn't shown up yet, but this is end times for us.
I'm sorry, it is what for us?
The end times.
Oh, it is the end times for us. Okay,
yeah,
many would
because of the Antichrist hasn't shown up yet. Doesn't mean it hasn't started. The United Nations is headed by Germany, and God said before they were the old Assyrians, and God said that the next time they come up, He's going to destroy them forever.
Well, we certainly. Appreciate your phone call here today, Gwendolyn, and definitely a time for our nation to remain in prayer, that the church remain in prayer for times such as these. Let me grab a couple of more here. An MIT scientist is warning of possible long-term damage to the brain from COVID-19 mRNA vaccine, saying that it's likely there will be an alarming rise in several neurodegenerative diseases. And it's likely to happen increasingly among the younger population. This from Stephanie Seneff in an academic paper titled Worse Than the Disease, reviewing some possible unintended consequences of the mRNA vaccines against COVID-19. This published in the peer-reviewed International Journal of Vaccine Theory, Practice, and Research. Seneff, a senior research scientist at MIT's Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Laboratory, told Laura Ingram of Fox News Monday night, it's outrageous to be giving vaccines to young people because they have a very, very low risk of dying from COVID. So they don't get a benefit, she said. And when you look at the potential harm from these vaccines, it just doesn't make any sense. And then the repeated boosters, Seneff added, will be very devastating for today's youth in the long term. David is in Milwaukee. You're on Crosstalk.
Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for standing up as watchman on the wall. Three of my boys attended Hillsboro Camp. My one son, David, said when this about a year and a half ago, it's a precursor, Dad, to the mark of the beast. And we're living in perilous times, and God gave me a dream twice to warn the body of Christ not to take the jab. And we have to stand just like we don't want people to easily take the mark of the beast. So he wants us to stand up and against this thing because it's not a real vaccine and it harms people. I love you and thank you for doing all the work you're doing.
Oh, David, thank you for calling our studio today and thank you for calling Crosstalk. We certainly appreciate that. Michael is also in Milwaukee. Thanks for calling, Michael. You're on the air, Michael. Turn your radio down, please. Hello, Michael.
Hi. Yes, I was. I'm very disgusted there. The government is trying to make Wisconsin a banana state, and what I mean by that is that they're using the vaccines and a way to discourage God's people, and we are living in our last days. So we need to remain faithful to God and stand against all Antichrist behavior.
All right, Michael, thank you. Thank you for the call. That spirit of Antichrist has surely been with us from the beginning, has it not? It certainly appears so. Hey, this is out of Utah. I want to grab this one before we close out today because so many are on the fence or you know, they're one side or the other of where to be on having the vaccine. In an editorial published last weekend, Salt Lake City Tribune's editorial board called for the National Guard to be deployed to keep unvaccinated people from taking part in society. If you haven't been vaccinated, they don't want you as a part of society. The Salt Lake City Tribune's paper also called for Utah's government to organize a, quote, mass vaccination campaign, even though it's been shown that the experimental COVID-19 vaccines have not been completely effective in halting the spread of the Chinese virus, even among those who have been vaccinated. This from the New American. Blaming cowardice and misinformation at all levels as the reason for a recent surge in the virus and an absence of COVID-19 tests in the state, the Tribune claimed that Utah's leaders were waving the white flag of surrender in the battle against the COVID-19 pandemic. Calling the situation in the state tragic and disgraceful, the editorial board lamented a lack of available testing kits in the state, as well as a recent vote in the Salt Lake Council, which nearly overturned a countywide mask mandate as proof that the government of Utah had somehow abandoned its citizens. William, quickly, we'll get you on the air from East Troy. You're on Crosstalk.
Dalton, quick thought. You mentioned Carhartt and you mentioned GE. What about people who have taken the vaccination, the death jabs, and gotten the boosters and now are having major health problems under the fear of losing their jobs? And now since this mandate's been rescinded, what's going to be the legal recourse for these people? They don't have any legal recourse against the government because it's considered an experiment. But what about employers that they felt fearful that they would lose their jobs?
William, a great question, great cause for concern. And it's always an honor to step in and fill in for Jim when he's away. But it's always surprising. We're still talking about some of these same issues. And you would think we would have been further down the road on this by now, but let's all keep looking up.
Listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.